Blackstone Audio and Skyboat Media present The Screaming Mimi by Frederick Brown. This book is read by Stefan Rudnicki. Chapter 1. You can never tell what a drunken Irishman will do. You can make a flying guess. You can make a lot of flying guesses. You can list them in the order of their probability. The likely ones are easy. He might go after another drink, start a fight, make a speech, take a train. You can work down the list of possibilities. He might buy some green paint, chop down a maple tree, do a fan dance, sing God Save the King, steal an oboe. You can work on down and down to things that get less and less likely, and eventually you might hit the rock bottom of improbability. He might make a resolution and stick to it. I know that that's incredible, but it happened. A guy named Sweeney did it once in Chicago. He made a resolution, and he had to wade through blood and black coffee to keep it, but he kept it. Maybe, by most people's standards, it wasn't a good resolution, but that's aside from the point. The point is that it really happened. Now we'll have to hedge a bit, for truth is an elusive thing. It never quite fits a pattern. Like, well, a drunken Irishman named Sweeney. That's a pattern, if anything is. But truth is seldom that simple. His name really was Sweeney, but he was only 5/8 Irish, and he was only 3/4 drunk. But that's about as near as truth ever approximates a pattern, and if you won't settle for that, you better quit reading. If you don't, maybe you'll be sorry, for it isn't a nice story. It's got murder in it, and women, and liquor, and gambling, and even prevarication. There's murder before the story proper starts, and murder after it ends. The actual story begins with a naked woman and ends with one, which is a good opening and a good ending, but everything between isn't nice. Don't say I didn't warn you. But if you're still with me, let's get back to Sweeney. Sweeney sat on a park bench that summer night next to God. Sweeney rather liked God, although not many people did. God was a tallish, scrawny old man with a short but tangled beard stained with nicotine. His full name was Godfrey. I say his full name advisedly, for no one, not even Sweeney, knew whether it was his first name or his last. He was a little cracked, but not much. No more, perhaps, than the average for his age of the bums who live on the near north side of Chicago and hang out when the weather is good in Bughouse Square. Bughouse Square has another name, but the other name is much less appropriate. It is between Clark and Dearborn Streets, just south of the Newberry Library. That's its horizontal location. Vertically speaking, it's quite a bit nearer hell than heaven. I mean, it's bright with lights, but dark with the shadows of the defeated men who sit on the benches all night long. 2 o'clock of a summer night, and Bughouse Square had quieted down. The soapbox speakers were gone, and the summer night crowds of strollers who were not habitués of the square were long in bed. On the grass and on the benches, men slept. Their shoelaces were tied in hard knots so their shoes would not be stolen in the night. The theft of money from their pockets was the least of their worries. There was no money there to steal. That was why they slept. "God," said Sweeney, "I wish I had another drink." He shoved his disreputable hat an inch farther back upon his disreputable head. "And I," said God, "but not bad enough." "That stuff again," Sweeney said. God grinned a little. He said, "It's true, Sweeney. You know it is." He pulled a crumpled package of cigarettes from his pocket, gave one to Sweeney, and lighted one himself. Sweeney dragged deeply at the fag. He stared at the sleeping figure on the bench across from him, then lifted his eyes a little to the lights of Clark Street beyond. His eyes were a bit blurry from the drink. The lights looked haloed, but he knew they weren't. There wasn't a breath of breeze. He felt hot and sweaty, like the park, like the city. He took his hat off and fanned himself with it. Then some 3/4 drunken impulse made him hold the hat still and stare at it. It had been a new hat 3 weeks ago.